We got the cool one, huh? In the Airstream?
Wait.
It deleted everything?
No, you're speaking during my...
When?
What have I done?
When? You didn't even tell me you're recording.
Okay, I'm gonna start recording.
Okay. And for how long? The injury is gonna start? You have to tell me, like...
Yes, okay. Okay. Okay, hello. My name is Cesar Moran, and I'm 27 years old. Today is July 14, 2018, and I'm speaking with Serena Ho, who is my girlfriend. We are recording this interview in...
the Annenberg Space for Photography.
In Los Angeles, California.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
One of the most difficult moments in my life was when my family migrated from Peru when I was 9 years old. We came to the United States on February 4th, the year 2000. And I remember my parents lied to me. They said that we were gonna go to Disneyland. And the reason why they said that is because when we were applying for our tourist visas, they were afraid that the visa people would ask me as a little kid why we were going. So they wanted me to say Disneyland and not to go live over there. Because if I said that, then you know I could ruin our chances. So we came, my parents, they sold everything they had. They left everything behind. They sold their cars, everything. When they came over to the United States, their degrees, everything that they had worked for, like, would not mean anything anymore. So we came, you know, seeking a better economic condition and also seeking, you know, kind of trying to escape the crime and like the terrorism that was happening in Peru at the time. Well, when we finally arrived in the United States, I guess one of the most shocking things was that, I mean, obviously for any immigrant, one of the biggest barriers is the language. And my father doesn't really speak or hasn't really made an effort to learn English. My mom, she speaks English a little bit, and obviously I've adapted a lot better than they have. But it wasn't always like that. When I first came to the United States, it the biggest challenge was, you know, not being able to speak the language. You feel really shy, you know, you feel like you don't belong. Like it's a big struggle to learn how to communicate with people. And, you know, you wanna be able to do the homework, but you're falling behind, and you just feel sad, and it lowers your self-esteem. And I mean, and you know, every day I would cry because I couldn't do the homework, or I just didn't want to be there because nobody could understand me. And you know, I guess I'm just grateful that I had so many or along the way, like I met so many teachers and other students that really helped me along the way and helped me to survive, because really I was like, I could have never made it alone. And I don't know, it's just one of those things where you feel like God's like looking over you. And yeah, I mean, eventually I was finally able to get a good grasp on English, and you know, I finished college. I went to college here in Northridge, California, and I graduated. Now I'm 27 years old, and I'm a high school history teacher, which is what I always wanted to be since I was young. So I guess, you know, it's tough challenges, you know, growing up. My family, we came with a tourist visa, but then we overstayed. So after the first year, once our visa expired, we became illegal immigrants. And it took us a very long time to be able to acquire our green card. And, you know, growing up with that challenge of being an illegal immigrant, you feel fearful because, you know, you're afraid that that your family could be deported, that you could be deported, that everything you've done all these past years can be for nothing. You know, you're growing up and you're seeing your friends, you know, traveling other places, you know, getting their driver's license, like starting new jobs. But I know that I can't leave the country and I can't get a job legally and I can't get a license because I don't have a social security number. So that was a big struggle, and I'm really grateful to my mom for, you know, just making it happen for us and my sister, and eventually my dad, thanks to her.
Can you tell me one of your happiest moments?
I think the happiest moment in my life, or I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess you could count it all as a moment, was when I first met my girlfriend, Serena. The story's pretty crazy because at the time, you know, like the circumstances were very wild, you know, and what I learned was that you always have to, you have to take a risk, you know, to be where you want to be, and, you know, you can't really put limits on yourself or keep yourself down, you know, when really, you know, there's no limits to what you can do if you try. When I first met Serena, I think it was the year 2016, if I'm not mistaken, and it was the summer of 2016, and at that time, I had just lost my job, and I kind of went through an identity crisis because that job, you know, I had put so much effort into it, and for, like, I got fired under, like, shady circumstances, but it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me. Essentially, I was fired because they were trying to get rid of me, but then, you know, because of that, I was at a very low point in my life where, you know, I didn't know what I was gonna do. I had already graduated from college, but I didn't know what direction I was gonna go into. Anyways, before all that, like pretty much like the week after I got fired, some friends wanted to hang out with me. And we were gonna go. One of my friends invited me to go to a club with them in Hollywood, and they said, "Oh, my cousin's girlfriend is gonna come with us. You should come too, Caesar." And then I was like, "I don't know. Like, I don't have money. Like, I'm broke. I don't think that, you know, this is worth it." And really, I was feeling down, so I really didn't want to be around people. But, you know, they pressured me enough that I was like, okay, sure, like, what the heck. So, you know, we meet up at my friend Chris's house. And, you know, my friend Michael and Serena, they finally arrive. And at the time, I didn't know who she was. So I remember I greeted her. And I was like, hey, what's up, Michael's cousin's girlfriend? And I really didn't care about her because, you know, since she had a boyfriend, I was like, oh, like, you know, I'm never gonna see this person again. Like, what's the point of giving them attention or whatever? So we went, you know, to Hollywood, and we checked out all these different clubs, and, you know, they were all duds. Like, we couldn't get in, or there was like entry fees, so we didn't wanna like put up with that. So we ended up walking like 2 miles, like back and forth between Hollywood, trying to decide on what to do. And, you know, during that time, you know, like, it was pretty lame. I felt like we weren't having fun, and like the night was gonna be a dud. But I was like, well, I'll just try to keep everyone entertained. I just kept talking nonsense and trying to be funny. And I was talking to Serena. I don't know, was I funny that day, Serena?
I don't remember. You just kept trying to talk to me about stuff. I don't know what you're saying.
I was talking to Serena, and, you know, I asked her, you know, why she was here. She was here because of her sister was going to a wedding, and she tagged along, but she was just here for like 1 or 2 days. She was going back to San Francisco, which is where she lived. And, you know, I started talking to her, and we finally get to a club where they let us in. We pay like $20 entry fee. We go to the OM nightclub on Hollywood and Highland. And then, you know, we're hanging out there. I buy a couple of drinks, like on my credit card. And, you know, I'm starting to feel like I can have fun. So then, pretty early on, Michael, like, comes up to me and he's like, oh, are you going to dance with do you want to dance with Serena? You know, so she can have a good time. And I was like, you know, I was still, like, in that mode where, like, okay, like, I don't care, like, about her. Like, but I was like, sure, like, let's go. So then I take her to the dance floor and, you know, we kind of start dancing. But then, you know, in the distance, I see Michael, like, looking at me, and I feel a little weird because I'm like, oh, like, I'm that, like, this is his cousin's girlfriend, you know? So I feel awkward, so I'm just like, well, you know what, like, whatever. So I take Serena's hand, and we go, like, deeper into the dance floor, like, where we can't be seen. And then from that point on, you know, like, we just have a great time. And, you know, we just dance the night away, and, you know, I had never experienced something like that, you know? I'd gone to the clubs before, but I had never danced with like someone for such a long time, you know.
It was like the whole time straight until 2 a.m.
Yeah, pretty much. I want to say from like 10 to 11 to like 2 to 3 a.m. pretty much. And you know, we were like super sweaty and super tired, but you know, it really like lifted my spirits. It was so fun, and it was like really like unintentionally like kind of romantic. Like I remember like you know, guiding her like through the dance floor, like taking her to where I felt was like more safe and more fun. And maybe she felt like, you know, it felt cool that I felt like she wanted to take a risk, a chance with me, you know, right there. And she, I felt like she really trusted me. I mean, maybe she couldn't trust anyone else, but I feel like because of that trust that she put in me at that moment, I felt, you know, I felt something. And then the next day, you know, like we basically that night, like we parted ways. You know, she had to go back to with Michael because that's where she was staying. And then, you know, I stayed over at Chris's house because I couldn't drive home. And then, you know, the next day we wake up and I'm talking to Chris and I'm like, dude. And he's like, dude. And he's like, I'm like, did you see that, dude? And he's like, yeah, man. Like, that was cool. Like, you know, you guys were vibing. And I was like, yeah, but what can I do? You know, like, she lives so far, like, you know, she's already in a relationship, like, there's nothing that I can do, you know? Like, she was really cool, but I don't know, you know, that's it. So then, you know, I was like, man, like, it's over, you know? It'll just be, like, a nice memory, like, to have, you know, or something to like give me hope for like the future. But like later that morning, like Michael, like he tagged us and like a really racist meme about like female Asian drivers. And then I was like, oh, what? And then, you know, he tagged me and Serena. So I was able to find out what Serena's Instagram was. And I sent her a direct message, you know, a DM.
You waited a week.
I waited a week? Okay. You know, I waited a week, and I had the courage to send her a DM and, you know, talk to her a little bit. You know, one of my friends was advising me on how I could talk to her.
No, you sent me a DM of your Snapchat.
Yeah. Yes. So my friend Ramiro, he was the one that suggested trying to get her Snapchat. And at the time, I never even used Snapchat. I didn't know what it was about or what. But I knew it was a good way of talking to girls. You know, like low risk, like the evidence is like deleted permanently after every conversation. So I sent her my Snapchat, she sent me hers, and then from that point on I was able to start Snapchatting with her about just like stupid things like cactuses that look like llamas or, you know, my two cats. or just random things that we were doing. And I remember, like, I would just, I was never really a big Snapchat user, but I just started posting things to make my life seem cool and, you know, hopefully to grab her attention. But, you know, we kept talking through Snapchat pretty consistently until finally, like, when Labor Day weekend was approaching that year, you know, we came up with the idea that, oh, well, some of my friends were already planning on going out of town, but then I was talking to Serena and I was like, how about, wouldn't it be cool, like, if we went to San Francisco and we could hang out with you guys, and, you know, it'd be really a fun weekend. And then somehow Serena, I guess she convinced her parents that we could stay at her place, me and my three friends, Michael, Chris, and Jeremy. And we ended up, you know, it was a plan. And, you know, this girl that I had been talking to for like 3-4 weeks, I was gonna go see her again in San Francisco. You know, I guess I had fallen in love with her, but I didn't even know her. You know, I had only, you know, met her that one night, and then the rest was like talking on Snapchat. Anyways, like we make the trip on Chris's car all the way to San Francisco from the San Fernando Valley. And, you know, when we're finally like in her driveway, I'm like, wow, like we're actually here. I just took like this huge risk. You know, the whole time, like right before the trip, I was tripping. I was like, I was like, why am I even doing this? You know, why am I taking this chance on this person that I've only just met? And, you know, I don't know what to expect. You know, she's still in a relationship. You know, what if she just sees me as a friend? Like, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket, basically. And, you know, I have no money to even make this trip. And I felt like really weird, like about like, am I even like being ethical? Like, I remember Michael who was going out with, I mean, Michael was going out. Michael was Serena's ex-boyfriend's cousin. And he, you know, he was like, I talked to him and I was like, Michael, like, or he kind of was trying to make me doubt going. And I was like, dude, like, if you don't want me to go, like, I'm gonna fight you. And then he was like, I don't want to fight you, man. And then I was like, okay, so I guess we're going. And I don't even know why I said that, but I just wanted him to show, I just want to show him that, you know, I was ready to go. And I remember asking my dad, you know, my dad's not like the worst person to go for advice, but I was like, Dad, like I met this girl and I don't know, should I even take this risk and go? And he was like, son, life is like a train. You either get on or you don't get on. So he gave me $100 and then I was like, okay, cool. We're going to San Francisco. Anyways, so we're at the driveway and she comes up and everything's like normal and I don't even know what to expect, you know? So we end up going to dinner and hanging out. And then I think that first night, you know, we go to the gay clubs in San Francisco in the Castro district. And, you know, I don't know what to expect from Serena, but we start dancing. Oh no, I think we end up walking for a really long time. And then
we pre-gamed in the car.
Yes, we pre-gamed in the car. But then finally we get to some clubs and we meet up with Serena's friend. We start having a great time and we're dancing. Like this gay guy, he bought me a drink. Like I guess I looked gay when we were there. You know, I'll take it as a compliment. And you know, we're having an awesome time. Like it's like the most fun I've ever had in my whole life. And then Regina, Serena's friend, her phone gets stolen and it kills like the whole mood of like the whole night. And everyone's just like on a downer after that. Anyways, so that night ends on kind of a bad note because of that, but we still had a great time. I remember Jeremy got super drunk, you know, cause he went back to the car to finish a bottle of Bullet. And when he came back, you know, we didn't wait for him at the line. We were already inside the club. And then he waited the whole line again. And when he finally got inside, we were leaving that club. So he got really mad at me and wanted to kick my ass. Anyways, the next day, you know, we go around the city again. We go to Chinatown. We hang out. And I'm talking to Chris, and I'm like, dude, tonight, you know, it's the last night we're going to be together. This is the last chance I have at, you know, trying to make a move on this chick. And we go to this club. I don't remember the name of it. I think it was like one of the guys.
Temple,
one of the guys from Jersey Shore. He was going to be the DJ. I think it was like Pauly D or I don't remember. But I remember that night, you know, was pretty magical. I remember, well, the way it all started was we were in the car. Like, basically, Michael, he became a little bit of a Judas during the trip. He was trying to block me from being able to get to Serena, and he kept trying to call her boyfriend to make him to, like, hang out with us. And In my head, I was like, oh, like, come on, dude. Like, but I still had to, like, you know, push forward. I couldn't care about what he was doing. And I remember he ended up calling him, and he was gonna go to Serena's house where we were all staying, and he was gonna come hang out with us or something. But in my head, I was like, I cannot allow this guy to come. Like, we need to bail, basically. So then, like, after dinner, we get home, and it became like a race. Like, we had to leave before he arrived. So we get to the club. I mean, we get to Serena's house, and we change, and we get ready. And then me, Chris, and Jeremy, we're all waiting in the car. And Serena is, like, taking a little bit to come down. And I remember we saw a car pull in. And I remember me and Chris were like, oh, my God, like, I think that's him. And then we were like, I was like, in my head, I was like, oh, it's over. Like, the jig is up. But then, at that moment, you know, we just see Serena, like, run out the house and get into the car super fast. And Chris, and as soon as she gets in and the door's closed, Chris just pulls away and we drive off into the city. And then, like, Serena's ex-boyfriend, he's just standing there. And I'm just like, wow, like, I cannot believe, like, that just happened. But, you know, Serena was looking, like, really sexy and stuff. And I was like, okay, like, here we go. And at that moment, I kind of knew, like, I was like, oh, like, I think she likes me because, you know, she did this for me, which, you know, she did something that she probably had never done before, and I'm doing something I've never done before. So that was kind of cool. So we ended up, like, trying to hit this place up, and we're, like, running, like, through the streets of San Francisco, like, really late at night, and it was really fun and exhilarating, you know, like, just being in that moment of, like, uncertainty in a way, like, you're kind of free-falling, and just trying to take we took a leap of faith, and we're gonna see where it was gonna go. So we end up at this club, and Chris and Jeremy, you know, they really helped me out, you know, they helped us get our drinks, and in this, like, the club was horrible, like, it was, like, all right, dancing, like, there was only, like, 2 baristas for, like, 500 people. It was a horrible situation. And is baristas only for coffee shops?
It's a bartender now.
Bartenders, yeah. So, you know, we have a great time at this club, despite, you know, what happens. Like, I feel like we wanted to have a good time. And we end up back home, and, you know, nothing really happens after that. Like, I think I tried to kiss Serena, but
I don't think you did.
But after that, I was still, like, uncertain. Like, we drove back home, and, you know, nobody was really saying anything, and I was like, okay, like, that was fun. You know, maybe she still doesn't like me, but whatever. So the next day is the day that we're going back home. And what's kind of funny was that I had already arranged with Serena that she would be able to come back to Los Angeles with us because she had a job lined up, like a job orientation. She already had a job down here, and that already gave me a lot of hope because I felt like she was going to move down here, she was going to be here, and that was going to be my chance to shine. And I told her that she could come back to LA with us, but I hadn't told Chris that, who it was his car that we had came to San Francisco with. And when like that morning, I'm just like, oh, I told Chris, I'm like, Chris, by the way, Serena's coming back to Los Angeles with us. And he's like, what? Dude, like, what the? And I was like, yeah, like, are you cool with it? And he's like, yeah, dude, but this is crazy. And I'm like, yeah. And then it was funny because I didn't even tell them that she was going to be staying at my place. And I was feeling pretty happy. I was like, I did it, kind of. And, you know, that morning, Serena's boyfriend at the time, he came to say goodbye. And I remember, like, we met him and I shook his hand and everything. And we were all packed up. And, you know, we got in the car and we just, like, waved bye and drove away. Then the next couple of days, you know, I took Serena to her. I was, like, taking care of Serena. I took her to her orientation. Took her on a date. And, you know, we went for a hike in Malibu. I took her to a restaurant. It's called Gladstone's. It's, like, by the ocean. And I think we had a pretty good time. And then I think that was the last day I was going to see her or something. And I just told her how I felt, you know. I told her that I felt we had a real connection. And, you know, I'm happy I met you. And, you know, I know you have a boyfriend, but I just want to tell you how I feel. And, you know, and just for you to know how I feel, you know, that's good enough for me. You know, you don't have to feel the same way. And, you know, we went back and, you know, and we went back home. You know, she didn't really, like, respond to me like how I hoped she would. And it was a lot to take in. But, you know, eventually before she left, she told me that she was going to break up with her boyfriend. And obviously that didn't mean that I was going to be her boyfriend. But, you know, I guess for her, she knew that it was over with what she had going on over there. And for me, you know, she was going to come. She took a job here at UCLA Hospital for nursing, and she was going to come back down. So I remember waiting and that week, you know, for her to finally come back, and I was going to see her again. And, well, long story short, after that, you know, we did end up getting together, and it was awesome, you know. And then I you know, going back to the beginning, I got fired, but that gave me really the chance to reflect and do what I really wanted to do, which was teaching. So I took a chance, and I went back to get my credential, and, you know, just last year, like, I got my credential, and I already finished my first year of teaching, but, you know, getting fired was the best thing that could have happened to me, because I feel like I found my calling in life, and I found, you know, a person that I love, and, you know, that I want to be with. And, you know, my whole life, like, growing up as an immigrant and, you know, feeling really insecure and, you know, and rejected by people, and, you know, all the hurt that's happened, like, with my family, like these past couple years, it's, like, the first time I've been happy, like, in a really long time. Like, I've always been, like, optimistic about life, but kind of, like, accepting defeat that, you know, that maybe, like, an average life is all that I can expect from this world. But, you know, these past 2 years have been so incredible. And, you know, Serena, I love you, and, you know, thank you. Thank you for coming into my life and, you know, bearing with me and being patient and being kind.
Thanks for sliding into my DMs.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm happy right now. I'm smiling.